This is the gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, before I begin, I'd like you to listen closely today. Not that you don't hang on my every word every other week, but still. After the gospel reading, I'm going to ask you what stands out to you once I'm done. So listen carefully. And then once you've heard it, I want you to think about a phrase or a word or the sentiment, perhaps, that stands out most prominently to you. So are you ready? Okay. The gospel. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. All right. I'm going to bet that there's a good chance that you heard one of two things most prominently, so I'm going to name those. By a show of hands, you can let me know if I'm right. And if that's not what you heard, don't just hold up your hand to appease me. I want to know what it is. So, who heard, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also," the loudest? That's a good, probably almost majority. All right. Who heard something like, "Be ready"? Okay, same majority. Jesus is coming. So is there anyone who heard something else louder than those two things? No, okay. So, to be honest, these are the things that stood out most to me too when I first read through this week's text. And they're very likely the most common threads from which sermons based on this piece of scripture are born. I don't say that because I think it's wrong. It isn't. I bet most of those are good sermons. It strikes me, though, that human nature seems to always hear the law louder than the gospel. Did you hear the gospel? Did you hear the promise in the reading? I'm the same. But I wonder why none of us didn't hear that promise louder than anything else, and I read it purposefully, slowly. The reading begins with the words, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." It doesn't say it's your Father's good pleasure to give you rules or instructions or even some nice things. No, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Not a slice of it, not a glimpse of it, all of it. Whole thing. That first sentence, I think, is earth-shattering. And yet it, somehow it just slides past our hearing. So I have to wonder, why? Is it because it's such a different message than we hear in the world? I think the world seems to turn on the idea that you can't get something for nothing. We live in a world of shoulds, musts, do's, don'ts, rules, laws, and the timeless quid pro quo. And that doesn't even touch on the way that people use fear as a way to motivate or to create division. So I feel like the be ready stuff just begs to be played into that fear. But Jesus begins with the words, do not be what? Afraid. Do not be afraid. In fact, do not fear is the most frequently repeated sentiment in the Bible. Did you know that? A very quick Google search tells me that do not be afraid and its variants. So if you include fear not and that kind of stuff, do not fear, do not be afraid, shows up in the Bible 365 times. Once for every day of the year. 365 times. So I think that it's in the presence of this promise that we need to understand the rest of the text. This, do not be afraid. It is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Should be the frame of the whole passage. Because when you hear everything else relative to that promise, then it isn't a set of instructions or a warning label, but rather an invitation. Because God is happy to give you the kingdom, you are free to let go of possessions. You are free to let go of the things that tie you down, those things that thieves seek and moths destroy. You are free to watch for Jesus because you're not watching everything else around you. Indeed, you are free to do the work of Jesus. There is freedom in letting go. There is freedom in the promise. So bear with me for one moment. Close your eyes if you trust me enough. And imagine what might be different in your life if you began every day, every decision, every action with the promise of God. That it is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What would your life look like? What would your home look like? If everything you did began with the promise in your heart, would things look different than they do now? Open your eyes. Yes? Would they look different? Yes? Maybe? I hope I'm not alone, because for me the answer is yes. I think that if we live into that promise, then the whole phrase, where your treasure is, your heart will be also, gets turned upside down. Usually we hear that as a direction to make sure that we treasure God before we treasure things, so that our heart will belong to God But I think that if we stop asking ourselves where our treasure is and start thinking about where our heart is, then the treasure kind of takes care of itself. Because we have the power to choose where our heart is directed to. And I think that if we live our lives believing and living that it is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom, then our heart is filled with the grace of God. And then it just follows that that is our richest treasure. And if our richest treasure is God's promise living in our hearts, then we are ready for Jesus. We are ready. We're already there. News of Jesus' return becomes good news because we have nothing to fear. For we know that it is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. I think it really is human nature to hear law, rules, threats louder than we hear good news. So my challenge to you is this. Recognize that in yourself. See if you can't fight that urge. Try instead to hear the good news as the loudest thing. Remember the good news. Hold it in your hands. Put it in your heart. Plaster it on post-it notes if you have to. And do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you, the kingdom. Amen.